Blog Talk Radio.
www.mylifecompass.com/Lilisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lilisa J. Williams.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome. Well, we're here on Thursday morning. Glad to see all of you here today. We're going to be talking about our hot, hot topic, texting messages. SMSing, what is it all about? Well, I know yesterday we did almost, we could call yesterday a sneak preview, myself and Mr. Walker, as I mentioned even that we would have the topic on today, and he had lots to say about this texting, so maybe some of you went and did your homework as well, and you went to do some research on this powerful thing that is changing our society, not only continuing, I should say, to change, but it has already started. The change has already started. I mean, for some of you, it would only be an imaginary thing just to imagine a time before texting. I remember when the beepers first came out somewhere. Well, you know, you can never really say when things first came out per se, because things are sometimes designed and created in factories and laboratories long before, and I'm talking about years and possibly even decades before they ever hit our consumer market. A lot of times, products and services are created and produced for a particular segment of people. It could be regional. It could be nationwide. Some nations may have a product or service long before another nation or group of people get that same product. So I can't say exactly when beepers or cell phones or any of those things came out. But let's just say when it hit the general consumer, when we were able to actually go into the common store, your Walmart, your Kmart, your department store, and pick up the item. So let's just say what I remember about beepers, somewhere around 98, 97, possibly, before that. And I remember the year 98 so well because we had beepers as I was working for Continental Airlines during that time. And all employees got a beeper, and I thought that was so cool. They give you this beeper. And so there was some SMSing done then, because on your beeper, not only could you put your number in to let a person know to call you at that number, but they began to put short messages there, which is what SMS stands for, short messages. So here you have this, thing going on here with these little short messages where you could send a message to someone, just a few words. Remember, therefore, you don't have to be on the phone and talk for hours and hours, just a few words. So good morning, and welcome to our show. Well, we have some statistics to share with you today. But just imagine a time, if you can, go back with me if you can. Imagine a time when there was no cell phone. Just imagine that, if you can. I know for some people it's very hard because it's been here all of your life. If you are probably 20 and younger, you probably don't. You probably don't remember a life without cell phones. And that would be a great little documentary to see, or somebody to do, or a little movie that would be cute. A time when there was no cell phone. Can you imagine? Go back with me and imagine a time when you've never seen this, you never saw this before. You never saw anyone walking down the street talking on a phone. And again, I know some of you don't remember that because you're less than 20, and ever since you've been in the world, people have been doing it. But for those of you who may be more seasoned, I'll say, think about it. When did that happen? What did it look like? What did it feel like? You see, I remember growing up, just something very simple like walking down the street and being able to speak to people. The average person, any person, today it's a little harder because the person may be in a deep, deep, deep conversation on their phone. And they certainly don't want to stop and say hello to you. You see, they're on their phone. They're in conversation. They're in discussion. They may be planning. It could be me. I could be planning a conference or a seminar. Driving, the same thing. So just think about, but just try to imagine a time. Well, some people think that texting has gotten way out of hand. I mean, and here's the thing. I don't know if some of you saw the movie Jurassic Park, but there was a part in Jurassic Park where the one scientist had mentioned the fact that sometimes we create things because of our creativity and our desire to use our knowledge and intelligence and maybe even to provide a service that definitely seems really needed. But in the end, but because enough research had not gone forth, 10 years worth of data and 20 years worth of data and projections, then we end up creating a monster, so to speak. But then it's too late. So in other words, if you look back to the reasons why we got cell phones, if you think about why did we ever get cell phones? If some of us can think back to a time where people never walked down the street talking on a cell phone, the thought of driving with a phone was just non-conceivable. You just could not even conceive that. And obviously, so someone could conceive it, that's how we got them. But think about why do we need them? Why did we need them? And then once we got them, so there was a reason that we needed cell phones, and then we got cell phones. But it didn't stop there. It didn't stop there. Then we got the texting. So will it stop here? No. So what's next? So my question, I put it in the chat room, I believe, and I also put it on Facebook. Text mess, what's next? Yeah. What's next? What's next, Pat? What's next after texting? Yeah, and remember the girl at the mall who could have really, really injured herself very badly? She was walking in the mall, not paying attention to where she was going because she was so wrapped up. She was so involved, so engrossed and in tune to her texting that she, you know, in the mall they have these different things in the, you know, the middle of the aisles or the middle of the floor, the middle of the corridor, and it's a big fountain. And she just walked right and fell into the fountain. You know, it's not funny at all. I mean, what weird things have you seen people do at state work texting? And we're going to get into some of these statistics, startling statistics, on this SMS. Okay? On SMSing. And how much money is this costing us? How many dollars have we invested in this product? Yet people are going hungry. Children are going homeless. And families are going without a roof over their head. But yet we invest. I'm going to tell you in a minute about the cost, and I know we have a cell phone expert in our chat room, so I'm going to ask if that person could type in if they get a chance, really quick, just the average cost of a data plan, just an average. I don't, there's a top of the line, there's a middle of the line, there's a bottom of the line, but just a basic plan, even if it's the least expensive plan, because therefore, if we get the statistics on that, just imagine if you had the maximum plan. So just basic, I don't know if it's $12.99 a month, $10.99 a month, what have you. But what is the basic cost of a data plan? And then we're going to multiply that times the amount of people who have purchased plans. And when you see those numbers, and then let's compare those numbers and see how they might be impacting our society. Now, people text everywhere, y'all, everywhere. So, again, if you can think of some places where you've seen people texting or on their phones and you thought to yourself, this is so not cool. This is so not cool to be texting here. You know, I remember when cell phones first came out, you couldn't, they were banned from, like, hospitals and places like that. But nowadays, I see people on their cell phones in hospitals, in doctor's offices. There was a time when you couldn't dare do that because people, especially people with pacemakers and things of that nature, you know, the radiation could definitely affect them. On the airplane, once you can talk on your phone, you can text, you can do whatever you want as long as the door is open. But once they shut the cabin door, and then the pilot will usually come on and tell you, shut off all electronic devices, at least until they take off. When once they get so many thousand feet in the air, you can't use your cell phone. You can use their phones, of course, which, of course, it costs a lot of money. But you can at least use, you know, some electronic devices once they get so many feet in the air, but typically not the cell phone. So, and that's so important. Please, please, please do not, you know, you can't have cell phones. Oh, my goodness. Boy, I don't even want to talk about what that could do. So let's see if we can come up with an average amount of what it would cost to use a cell phone. Okay, so let's hear some of your concerns, because I said call in today with your concerns, your comments, and or your questions or your outbursts. And young people, when I did go to look up texting online, you will find a lot of data. So a lot of research has been done about texting driving, texting while driving. And then there's quite a bit of research for texting in children and teens. However, now they're saying that parents, adults, are catching up with teens. When it was first really being discussed about it being a big problem, texting, even when, you know, texting first became popular, it was the teens that made it so popular, not adults. It was the teens who made it popular. As in many things, the teens make things popular. I remember growing up, go-go boots, those were made popular by the teenagers, not adults. But the adults have grabbed a hold of texting, and basically they are texting gone wild. Adults, texting gone wild. Because so many people are texting in all the strangest places. All right, wonderful, wonderful. I did get a comment from, yes, our texting or our service plan expert in the chat room. She says, good morning. Text plans can go anywhere from $5 for 250 messages a month to $10 for 500 messages. Oh, wow. And $20 for 5,000 messages a month. Now, I know some of you think, you know what? That $5 plan would work for me because guess what? I am not sending anybody 250 messages a month. Well, I got news for you. Statistics show that some people use it so regularly to the tune of, let me get those numbers for you, I'm going to show you how much texting done monthly in the United States, okay, in the billions. Wow. In the United States, in 2008, just in 2008 alone, there were 80 billion text messages, SMS, the small message service provider, these data plans that we just got the prices on, was sent in a month. In a month. Wow. Oh, boy. That's a lot. In 08, almost nearly 80 billion. Wow. That's a lot. Now, we only have in the United States close to 4 million people. All right. I'm sorry, 4 million. Yeah, right. We got that here in Newark. Not 4 million, but close to 400 million, which would be about 500 million. Now, divide that by the 80 billion, close to 80 billion SMSs sent in 1 month. That's a lot. That is a lot. Okay. Wow. Now, many people in other countries are also starting to do a lot of texting as well. But let's see. Compared to 2003, just 5 years earlier, there was barely 1 billion people using it. Barely 1 billion. From 1 billion to 80 billion. Okay? That's a lot. Not even 1 billion was using it in 03. From 1 billion to 80 billion people in 5 years. So what do you think it is now? This is almost 4 years later. 3 years later. 3 years later. Well, we'll get some statistics on that soon. Wow. So Pat also has some research that shows that children are just not getting enough sleep. because they're waiting on text messages to come through. And so there's other places that we were talking about even yesterday. We had Mr. Walker on, and he had some great statistics to share as well about the texting world. If you have any texting information, please call in 347-945-7991. If you have any startling, amazing, latest revealed statistics about the texting world, it is startling to know. Now, multiply, let's just say, going back to that data plan, those data plan numbers, $5 for 250 messages a month, $10 for 500 messages, $20 for 5,000 messages a month. Let's say the person had the basic plan. Let's just say all those 80 billion people had the big, not 80 billion people, but let's say that's, you know, 480 million texts, and divide that even by the 250 messages a month. So you would take 80 billion and divide that by 250. You don't even have a calculator to get that done. You would need a high level, the person would have to be levels, like 5 or 8 levels beyond calculus to come up with. That's why they have those people who they study and they know how to break down numbers. You would need a highly, if you can break down 80 billion divided by 250, that's not on your standard calculator, but if you can do it, fine, because a billion has 12 zeros. So now you're talking about 80 billion. So now you're talking about 13. Now you're talking about 13 zeros, because you got the zero from the 80. So I don't know if your calculator goes up to 13 zeros, fine. So you would take 80 billion and divide that by 250, and then we'll multiply that times that $5. And that will give us an average amount of what is spent per month on texting. Okay? That money could probably, you could build a nation with that amount of money, probably. I don't know what it's going to turn out to be. But you could, if someone has a calculator, you could calculate that. Or maybe you can book a number and you don't need pencil or paper, and you can get me that number. But that is amazing. Also, Pat was saying, there's a big consideration for how texting is impacting work and productivity on the job. There was a woman, they said, she received 600 text messages in one day. So for those of you who think that it's impossible to get to 250 a month, here's a woman who received that many in a day. I don't know. I have, let's see, on my phone right now, who knows how many I have? Because, you know, that's the good thing about the cell phones. You can get a lot of things calculated for you, for yourself. So right now, you know, they will calculate those messages. They will tell you what number it is. And I don't have that many. Great. I only have maybe like 40. So most people try to get a plan that is unlimited. There's another question in the chat room. What is a good age for children to have a cell phone? You know, what is an age? There's no particular age limit. We see people with phones, and at age five, I see 7-year-olds. I know a lady says her 8-year-old son has a cell phone on his hip. And so what is the cost of all these things? It's amazing that, you know, some cell phones are less expensive than what we might think, because you get a family package and they'll give you free phones for your children. Well, that's right. Why not? Why not get your child hooked as early as possible? Of course they're going to give you. Some people think, oh, I got a free one for my child. Well, yeah, because if you're paying, they're already getting a dollar amount. So why not get your 5-year-old hooked on a phone at age 5? And if this child lives to be 70, 75, 80, now they have a customer for life. So, yeah, that makes good sense. Get all your children a phone and get it as soon as possible. We know that. We know that old trick. Get your children hooked on something and be hooked forever. So now you have children, by the time they're 9, they're demanding from their parents not only that they want a cell phone. No. That would be okay, possibly. We could live with that. But no, they're demanding what types of phones. And as Versi was sharing with us yesterday, there's some new statistics coming out on the news that say people are now hiking. Is it called hiking? Yeah, carjack. They're phone jacking, so they're jacking. I guess I was thinking of a heist, you know, jewelry heist. Now they're phone heisting. So you could be on your phone and be careful. Someone may run past you and snatch your phone and keep running, especially if it's those expensive types of phones where these fancy applications and cloud computing and all these things can be done, the Androids and the other types of 4G-type network phones, the smaller iBooks and iPads and what have you. And when you think, and on the train, I heard about in New York, where on the train, you know, they could, you're ready to get on the train, you got to go to work. The train door opens, you know, you got so many minutes to get on. They snatch it and run. What are you going to do? You're going to risk losing your job? Or are you going to go after the thief that has your phone or your iPad or whatever it is that they've snatched? See, nowadays, snatching their phone or cell phone has become more valuable than snatching a purse. So they have all these fancy applications, and, you know, it's how our society is changing. A text mess, what's next? A text, that's what it is. It's a text mess, and what's next? And in my opinion, just my own personal opinion, we need to be aware as leaders, as parents, as advocates in the community for justice and well-being, for health, for safety. If we really care about our children and their futures, all right, we need to be looking at this. We need to be, what is really going on? And how far will we go? Well, there's no ending to this. There's no ending to this. You know, we're going to go on. You know, we're almost going to run on to see what the end is going to be. Because, think about it. Try to take yourself that cell phone from your child. That's what it would be like if they were to try to take it from our society right now. Just like if you were to try to take it from your child, they would be depressed, maybe frustrated. They wouldn't be able to function. There was a young man, and he was supposed to be calling in. And if he doesn't call in, that's okay. I'll share his story. He said that he can absolutely not function without his text, without his cell phone, that he could be almost at work. But if he realizes that he left his phone, he would turn around and go all the way back home. There, the same person shared with me that he sleeps with his cell phone. That's right, you heard me. People are sleeping with their, I don't mean on the nightstand, because we've always had phones on the nightstand next to your bed. That's where phones, you know, go. We've always had that. That's never been a, that's nothing new, nothing startling about that, okay? But, you know, if you're in a deep sleep, unless you're, you know, I don't know. I don't have my phone on ring, so my phone's always on silence. And I usually, when I come home, it just goes on a table downstairs, and it never goes, my phone rarely goes to the second or third level of this house. Rare on the second or third level, right? It rarely, ever, you know, on a rare occasion. When I'm at home, I use the landline. And then people, they call me in the evening. If you call me on my cell, that's what you'll have to do is possibly leave a text. Now, I may check it later, but I don't, you know, and that's only recently because of some travel and different things that we're doing and connecting with people. But before, when I came home, it was off, it sat on the table. If you called me in the evening on the cell phone, I never knew it. I never knew it until the next morning. But this person says they sleep with it in the bed with them. Now, here I am in my bed, myself, my husband, and a phone. That just doesn't seem to, that doesn't compute with my mind. if it was me and him and his phone. I can't fathom that. So I need someone to tell me how that looks and why. Why is the cell phone in the bed with you? Now, Kiva did also share that she said we were asking a question before about, okay, so we're going to make a call here. We're going to see if we can dial up someone right now. And let's see, I'm going to dial up here. We're not really going to play a trick on someone, but we're going to call somebody up because they possibly is a person who gets on their cell phone a lot, and they sleep with it in the bed with them. So we're going to call them up, and we're going to see how real this really is. We're going to do a live test right here. And by the way, we do have giveaways for you, but you'd have to be the 14th caller to get it today. You have to be the 14th caller. 42, okay, let's call this person right up and see if they answer in their sleep, because the person is probably asleep right about now. So let's see, let's call them up and see if they are asleep, and let's see if they answer their phone. And we're going to dial them right up, and let's see what happens. Nice music, huh? Good morning, good morning. Welcome. Guess what?
Yeah.
You're on the air with Coach LaLisa.
Uh-oh.
Yes, and you are part of our show this morning, because this morning you're talking about phones and how people actually sleep with their cell phones. Now, we won't give your name, we won't tell them, but what do you think about that? Cell phones in the bed with you. Now, we call you, it sounds like you just woke up.
Yes.
So do you sleep with your cell phone?
Yeah, it's sleeping next to me, not with me.
It's right next to you. And so what, we should have sent you a text message. But we were talking about people who with their cell phones. So you are on the Coach LaLisa show. Well, we thank you for being a good sport and proving. So why do you think that so many people keep do you know the numbers of texts that people send per day or month?
Yeah, I looked at mine on the computer before. I had over almost
9,000 texts?
Yes.
In 1 month?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You must be the president.
No.
You must be like a judge or something.
No.
Wow.
Text too much.
Text a lot. Okay, so why do you text so much? I get...
Because I'd rather text and talk on the phone.
So in other words, right now, you'd rather not be doing this.
No, well, the phone scared me. I was sleeping and I heard it.
Get out. So you would rather text than talk on the phone. Well, we're going to continue to talk about that. We're going to let you go back and get some sleep. And we thank you so much for participating in our show. Okay. Wow. I'm going to hang. Thank you. Wow. Can you believe it? Texting. Sleeping with phones. Sleeping with our phones next to us. There you have it, right there. The caller said, well, I called her actually. The person said that they had over 9,000 texts in 1 month. Now, remember that data plan statistic that I gave you earlier from our expert there in the chat room. She said that you could get $5 for 250 messages, $10 for 500 messages, and $20 for 5,000. So this person has already gone over that. And they also said that they would rather text than talk. Now, that's going to change the entire scope of our society. It's not going to change it. It is changing. Remember, we are supposed to be this very, in terms of society, we want to see and touch people and talk to them. That's how we communicate. We're social beings. We're social, you know, social. And we, and there's, you know, getting face to face with somebody, you know, you really get to see their expressions and what have you. And though talking on the phone is not quite the same as being in person, of course, you know, face to face is the highest interaction you can get with another human being is face to face. That's very high interaction. Okay, so then what was termed before was a low interaction was talking on the phone. But now, and then there. So let's put what was in the middle of that was email. There was before there was texting, there was email, and I remember when I think email. When I can't say when it came out overall, but I mean when it came out to the general population, was probably somewhere around 1980. See, I was in the military in 1980. 1980, I went in the military, hadn't heard anything about texting. You know, you heard of Morse code, you heard of the IBM machines, typing and all of that. But I came out 1987. We got DOS in our office space where I was working, and people were sending like an email. They didn't call it email then, though. It was called something else, I can't remember, but you sent messages back and forth using DOS. And it was very complicated. But then I remember somewhere around maybe 90-ish, I'm thinking 90, 91, somewhere around there. Maybe you all have the exact dates when email came out. So people began to email, and then email was a shorter message because you had your standard letter and your standard memo, and then you had your email was a much shorter message. And there was the whole concept where how do you express your emotions in an email? You know, with your face-to-face is easy. You can raise your eyebrows. You can put on a smile on your face. You can, you know, raise your nostrils and all kinds of things you can do to show whether you're frustrated, happy, sad, and what have you. You can show emotion. You can look away. You can look down. You can look up. You could turn to the side. You know, so many things. You know, and with the voice, you can inflect the voice so many different ways. You know, with your tone of voice, what you could do to send messages and clear messages. So then, when email came out, it's like, oh, wait a minute, hold up. We're not able to show emotion. So they began to make all kinds of little things like those, all those little smiley face things. That's when all that came out. And even before that, they had symbols like a colon with, you know, a parenthesis or something. And by the way, I don't know, some people I know, they don't know this because I don't think they would do it if they did know. When you type a letter, email, memo, text, or whatever, other than for emphasis on a particular word or concept, when you type in all text, in all capitals rather, you are screaming at the person. You're yelling at them, okay? You're screaming as if you are trying to be authoritative, if you're upset, if you're trying to be the person in power or something like that. So it is a negative. It's seen as a negative. The only people who are able to get away with it without people seeing that person as trying to be authoritative or negative or yelling are people who, you know, they've never had computer classes. They've never taken office assistance type classes. They've never been trained on how to use email. They never learned email etiquette and things of that nature. So you excuse them because you understand they just don't know. They don't work in an office. They may work in a factory or something where they don't have to use a computer. So the quickest way for them to type a sentence is to make it all caps because they don't have to go with the back and forth, capital letters, short letters, capital letters, non-caps, you know, so. Other than that, we expect people not to use all caps. which is why you don't see it that much, because most people do know. So I just wanted to put that out there for those people who still don't know. Now, unless you want to emphasize a word and make it more stand outish, then you would put that word in all caps. Like if I said, I need everyone to attend the training. Let's say I want to put an emphasis on everyone attend. I would capitalize the word everyone, but I wouldn't capitalize the whole sentence unless I was yelling. Say, for instance, if your boss sends you a memo or an email or a text in all caps, that means they're yelling at you. And that's okay if your boss needs to yell at you for whatever reason. So what else? Okay, so 9,000 texts a month from the caller. Yeah, that's something. But, yes, Kiva was saying that you can block texting on their devices. Oh, good. Well, Kiva, we need you to come on and talk about how we do that. And then also Kiva was saying before I made the call to the caller, maybe 12, you know, is an age to get a cell phone, and that's so that they can keep in touch when they have activities or if they need to have safe numbers like their mom, their dad, their sister, their brother. You know, things happen these days. Not like when I was a kid. When I was a kid, you didn't need a safe number. You didn't need to call mom and dad, grandma, sister. You didn't need to call anyone. You told, so like me and my sister went to school together. And we weren't in the same grade, but I knew that before I left the school building, I had to wait. My mother, you know, would take you to school the first day or whatever, whatever, and they would show you. Okay, you wait right here by the gray door until your sister shows up, and then you all walk home from school together. And that's how we did it. We didn't need to call my sister who's in another classroom and do all of that. So a lot of the things that we know how society has changed. Society has changed and caused people to feel so unsafe about their children's whereabouts. So when cell phones came out, you know, you almost want to ask what came first, the chicken or the egg. People began to feel unsafe. Same thing, so they said, well, I'll get my child a cell phone. This way I can keep in touch. Then you had, like on the road, for instance, you know, if you've ever broken down on the road and there was no one around, you value a cell phone. You just truly value it. Again, people were already experiencing being stranded on highways and byways and what have you. So when phones came out, it was like, woo, this is an answered prayer. Same thing with the GPS. So many people were getting lost for years and years and years and years. So when the GPS came out, it was like, yes, I'm surprised we can't send text messages from our GPSs. So today we are talking about this very, very hot topic. And by the way, some other statistics. 72% of Americans pay for some kind of data plan, whether it's the $5 on average, 10 or 20 or more. Because depending on what service you have, the data plans could change in price. But 72% of Americans, that is about 203 million Americans, are paying, even if they pay $5. Even if they pay $5, that would be a lot. That would be definitely a billion. That's a billion-dollar industry. And that's like in a month. That would be a month, probably. Almost 60% of people text on a regular basis. I don't know if you remember this, but I remember a time when I said, I will not be sending texts. That's what I said. I don't know about you, but I remember saying that. I remember thinking, that is the foolishest thing I've ever seen. Seeing people, first of all, I want to know what kind of neck problems people are going to have later. You know, I hope you're doing neck exercises too, because I noticed just being on the computer, I've seen the adjustment, you know, in my sight. Just being, you know, remember as kids, our parents told us, don't sit too close to the television. You're going to go blind, you know, they would tell us. People with, you know, carpal tunnel syndrome, you remember that from typing, having their hand in that one motion all day? You see how many people got messed up with that? Well, imagine your neck. That's your spine. That's nothing to be playing with. And your head is constantly down, and that means you're putting stress on that spine. So if you had a text, make sure you're laying in the bed and you have your, you're holding your text above your head. So little things that we have, these are things that haven't even come out yet, okay, because you figure we've only been texting for the past, what, 15 years? And, you know, studies take a long time. They take at least a good 20 years to get certain data and statistics from these studies, studies like that, in terms of medical problems. But the statistics say that about 2.5 in the United States, 2.5 billion text messages are sent each and every day. Each and every day, 2.5 billion text messages are sent each and every day. These statistics are startling. Yes, Skype is another way of seeing the person that you're talking to. That's so true. That's so true. I do rather text than talk, because when I don't have to continue unwanted conversation, I should have known Pat, you would say something funny. She says that she would rather text than talk, because in that way, if you don't want to be in an unwanted conversation, it's much easier to stop. Because you just, and sometimes texting can also open a door for just our manners and etiquette. You know, you could be texting somebody and just stop. It's not, you didn't say goodbye, you didn't say I'll see you later. You just stop, okay? We've all accepted that. They may text and not get back to you for a whole day. It allows us to be rude in the weirdest kind of way, not on purpose per se. But it allows us to be rude, and it allows us to develop a high tolerance for accepting rudeness. Therefore, our I just can't even imagine raising children and dealing with all this texting. Because if I had a child that I text you and you didn't text me back, I think I would be bent out of shape. Especially if I'm paying for the phone. If I'm paying for the phone, I'm paying for the service. You don't have a job. You didn't even do your homework last night. And I text you, and you don't text me back. But yet, whenever I'm around you, I see you texting 24/7 when we're in the presence of each other. That's all you do is text. But then when I'm trying to get a hold of you, I can't. I don't understand how parents are handling that. That would bug me to no end, you know. And as a matter of fact, my husband, he texts maybe once a month, if that. Now, me, on the other hand, I text a little bit more. But he was not, even when beepers were out, it took a long time. You know, as a matter of fact, he never had a beeper. I tried my best to get him to get a beeper, but he didn't want one. I guess he said, you won't be checking up on me, little lady. But then when cell phones came out, he didn't want a cell phone. He was not going to get a cell phone. It wasn't until his company made, as a salesperson, his company bought them, and he had to get it. Other than that, I don't know if Drew would have ever gotten a cell phone, because he's not a gadget kind of. He likes real contact sports like wrestling, football, golf, tennis. You know, I don't think I've ever seen my husband. We've been married 21 years. I've never seen him play a video game ever. You know, but now he watches sports. And when I met him, he was playing football for some team over here in Orange, New Jersey, and I used to go to the field with him and watch him play football. But, you know, tennis, I watched him do some tennis matches, and we've done some together. I've seen him do that. I've seen him in some golf tournaments. He loves that. You know, contact outdoors, let me, you know, but I've never seen him play a video game. But I can't imagine, you know, having a child that... Kiva says, in fact, the phone is turned off at certain times of the day. Okay. So you have to set those standards, huh, Kiva and Pat? Yes. Okay. Okay. Yes, Coach. My children know they better respond. If not, the phone will be suspended. Okay. So I was going to say, because I can't, that would just burn me up. I'm just going to let you know. If it was, in my opinion, if you, and again, I'm paying for it, you have no job, you're still in school, and you didn't even get an A on your last report card or your last paper or whatever, whatever, whatever. You know, I wouldn't stress out that you didn't clean the room, because I know some kids, that's a hard job right there. So, okay. But your schoolwork, that's easy, because you've been doing school since you were three. So you ought to be, if you're in the 10th grade, by now you should be an expert. By now you're a 10-year expert. And it shouldn't take anybody 10 years to become an expert. At, you know, you can become an expert in a lot less time than 10 years. So, you know, I would expect, you know, great things from you as it related to your education, because you've been doing it so long. So, but yet and still, you don't answer my text, you don't answer my phone. And when you're with me, it would be okay if you didn't do it ever, because you could be a person that's just, is at, you know, don't care for it, fine. But don't be in my presence, and every time I see you, your head is down and you're texting your friends, or should I say your people you know, because we already know these aren't friends, because these same people will get on their Facebook pages and do crazy things. So, okay. So, coach, see, parents have control over parents, but do all parents have that? Pat, I see you're saying that, see, parents do have control, but do all parents have that, though? See, I understand that Kiva has it, and I understand that there could be a quite, I know parents, I believe, I don't know, but I believe there's a lot of parents that don't have no control. If that was the case, our juvenile, they had, if a parent could control that, how much they use the cell phone, we wouldn't have juvenile detention centers full of kids. So I'm not so quick to say parents have control. I say Kiva has control. You may have control, and a few others. But I don't think that's the average with parents, because we see too much in the news and in the media, and not just that, because you know I'm out there and about, and I see what's going on in families and with parents and children, and it's such a lack of control is what I see. But I see what you're saying. There are controls for the parents, but can parents use them is my whole point. When I ran the College Bound program for four years, that was my job, and I had 7th grade to 12th grade for 4 years. I think that's long enough to understand the mindsets of not only the parents, but of the youth. 4 years I did that job. It was a job, like 8 hours a day. Most people know their jobs are more than what you do at home. That was 8 hours a day and beyond, because you don't stop thinking about those children. Sorry, no real control that I could see. They couldn't control them, and neither could I. Are you kidding? Man, I remember one young girl, and she was about 7th, 8th grade. She had a cell phone. Her parents had bought her a really nice cell phone, and she left it. She lost it somewhere. She told me she left it in into the ladies' room at the college. I'm not sure, but nonetheless, it was gone. So she came to school or whatever, to my office, crying, boo-boo crying. I thought someone had raped her. I thought someone had beat her, had assaulted her. I was very nervous and scared. Of course not. Too nervous to calm her down and try to get out of her what was, because that was my thing when they were at the college. I didn't want anything to happen to them while they were on my watch. You know, you're the director. You got to protect these kids. Well, she was crying and so upset because she had lost her cell phone, and she said her mother was going to kill her when she got home. So I'll never forget that. I thought, well, I was like, look, honey, believe me, your mom's not going to kill you. She may punish you. You may not get another cell phone for a while. You know, you may not be able to go out and hang out with your friends, but I don't think she'll kill you. But this girl she didn't want to tell her mother. So I let her use the phone. I said, why don't you call your mom here? You know, break the ice to her now. Because who knows what she may do if you tell her face to face. And the big problem was that this was her child's second phone. like in a month. Okay, so, you know, the parents trying to provide the child with a way to have safety and protection, and the child keeps losing the phone. So anyway, I wonder about those costs. But so if you don't text, you don't have to have it. Okay, so yes, if you're paying the bill and when you make the plan. Okay, that's true. You can have control. You're absolutely right. When you're paying the bill and when you're making the plan. But here's the thing. These kids can go. I remember when we were teenagers, our big thing was to go, you know, to the little corner store and get an older person to go in and purchase cigarettes for us because we couldn't purchase them for ourselves. So I wonder how many of these teen girls are going out and getting an older guy. Say you got a boyfriend, say you 15, and you got a boyfriend and he's 20. Well, he can go and open up a phone line and he can get you a phone easily, as a matter of fact, very easily. And he can get you more than that, by the way. And that's a whole other show. We're not going to talk about that here today. That's a whole other show because I've got some new information about that. So here we are, down to almost the end of the hour here. So what you're saying is that, anyone can put usage control on the device, but everyone doesn't do it. But does everybody do it? Absolutely. We know they can. We know a lot of parents don't. And so what I'm saying is that what goes on the phone as far as talk time and text, right, it's up to the parent, whoever's paying for that phone. You're absolutely right. In so many ways, a parent can set up a plan, but most parents are trying to please their child rather than really protecting them because they really can't. You know, children, they can to some degree. And we know every household is unique. Every household is unique. I know in my household, if my mother was today, we would have no cell phones. She could care less about getting in touch with us during the day to see where we are. I mean, you know, she was a very loving mother, but my mom was just an interesting lot. You should have watched some of those little video clips I put on my Facebook page. That's the mother that raised me, a woman that would do that, you know. So I'll put some more clips up there, y'all. Barbara Branson, believe me, she just didn't play. And I don't think we would have had, I tell you, we didn't have a door key to get in our own house. We got in the house when we were supposed to get in, and if you came to the house at a time when you weren't supposed to get in, you had to knock on the door. That means she had to be awakened, and that means you were going to get a beating when you got in. So, knowing my personality, you can see I got a lot of beatings from the age of like 14 to 16, because I left home like around 17. I got a lot of beatings from age 14 to close to 17. But because I wasn't coming in. And when I got there, I had to knock on that door because you wasn't climbing through no window. What? You break one of the windows, now you was going to really be in trouble. And she had to pay to get that thing fixed. Okay, so I'm going to digress here a minute. Let me get back to things are happening tonight. We have the Daughters of the Board down at Metropolitan Baptist Church. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to actually presenting on domestic violence and assault topic tonight over in Bloomfield, New Jersey, at a school over there. I hope you all have wonderful and exciting things to do. If you're coming to the college on Saturday, please let me know. I look for you down there. They have the HBCUs having their going to be big. Well, I hope you got something out of our talk today on cell phones. Just imagine, I don't even think I've seen a phone on the street lately. Payphones, remember payphones? They used to be everywhere. I don't see them that much anymore. Okay, so Pat said, don't forget, she tells her kids, you're in school, supposed to be there to learn, not to be on the phone. But if you call me, it better be an emergency. Yes. You're right. So we probably will definitely have discussion again, because there's so much more information that we did not even give you about phones. But we have to run now. It's been great. It's been real. You got to keep moving on up. Don't forget, tomorrow, right back here, Friday, call us and tell us about your business. Don't forget, please go to my page and sign up for a free personal development account where we can work on some personal development activities with you. Or if you have any other questions, you know how to reach me. It's been great. So, no stop.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach LaLisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach LaLisa J. Williams.